16. As soon as it was morning, having held a meeting with the elders, scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin, the chief priests tied Jesus up, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate questioned him again, "Aren't you going to answer? Look how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still did not answer, and so Pilate was amazed. At the festival, Pilate used to release for the people a prisoner whom they requested. There was one named Barabbas, who was in prison with rebels who had committed murder during the rebellion. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them as was his custom. Pilate answered them, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" For he knew it was because of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd so that he would release Barabbas to them instead. Pilate asked them again, "Then what do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Again they shouted, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, our Assistant Minister Tim is preaching this morning. I got a message early-ish this morning saying that Tim had been ill all evening and had picked up some bug. He thought of changing his passage to Jonah 2:10. Then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. But he's sticking with that passage that we just had read. But I'm going to pray for him now for God's strength and that he'll get through this. And you might just want to offer a prayer in your own heart as well. Father God, we do thank you for your servant Tim. And we pray, Lord, that you will just give him your strength now to preach your word to us so that we will hear and trust and obey. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that's enough talk of vomit. Leads me to my first question. Why is it a Good Friday? We've had a rough start already. Certainly I have. But beyond that, today we celebrate 2,000 years ago, an innocent man being murdered and a murderer being declared innocent. Now, over our sermon series we've been doing on Mark, we've seen the perfect loving nature of Jesus as he walked in obedience to his Father. And we've seen his right to call himself the King of God's people. And yet upon this charge, we now find him, having been arrested in our last chapter, now dragged before the Romans, accused of high treason. "You call yourself the King of the Jews," they say. Is that true? Well, let's pray and we'll get stuck into looking at it and thinking it through. Loving Heavenly Father, help us, we ask, to understand why the condemning of your Son to death leads us to celebrate this day today as good. Guide us to follow him faithfully as the true King of your people. Amen. Well, today, as we come face to face with Jesus, as well as the claim that he is king, I want to work through four different responses to Jesus' claim and four different attitudes in the face of his death. Now, you have the Jews, you have the Romans, you have Jesus himself, and we also have us. But firstly, the Jews, the people who Jesus belonged to. He was born and raised a Jew and was the promised saving king that would save the people of God. Well, you'd expect them to receive him with open arms, knowing that. When you first heard about Jesus, how did you respond? Many of us here will have written him off initially. Maybe some of us still do. Would you want him killed, though? See, the Jews did. If you've closed your Bibles at this point, I'll get you to open them back up to Mark chapter 15. And look at verse 10. Why on earth did they want him dead? It was because of verse 10, envy. They envied that Jesus was the promised king of God's people. They envied that he was clearly changing people's lives and calling them successfully to follow him. I mean, that's not the official charge that they laid before him, but it was the reason behind it. They claimed he was a blasphemer. See, Mark 15 isn't actually the first time that Jesus has been dragged before a court in a trial. No, at the end of chapter 14, he's arrested and faces not the Romans, but the Jews. Specifically, he faces a religious council of priests, elders, and scribes. It's called the Sanhedrin. And so you have all these religious leaders, the people you'd expect to be upright citizens, trustworthy, and good, conspiring to kill Jesus. Read it in chapter 14 with me from verse 55. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, right? So they're out to get him, but they couldn't find any. But they want him dead. Jesus' claims aren't popular today, and they certainly weren't back then either. They were even willing to lie to kill him. Keep reading in verse 56. For many were giving false testimony against him. Mind you, the testimonies didn't even agree with one another. They can't even lie correctly, but they're willing to try. Now, let me remind you, these are supposedly God's people. We expect, I think, this sort of behavior from the Romans, who were probably worried about an insurrection. The Jews were already a hard enough people to govern because they had such strong guiding principles that weren't necessarily set by Rome. But these were meant to be the leaders of God's people, Jesus's people. But they knew who he was, and they knew he would not lie. So they ask him, are you the Messiah, you know, the king, the son of the Blessed One? And Jesus answers, I am. And for his claim, they condemn him to death. They call him a blasphemer. Never more inaccurate a claim has been laid against someone. They blindfold him. They spit on him and beat him. Well, friends, what sort of response is this to Jesus, the one who came to save them? Is this your response? Rejecting his claim on your life. Rejecting the one who gave everything for you. And so far it's been pretty negative, hasn't it? An innocent good man dragged before a council, lied about, beaten, sent to die. So why is it a Good Friday? So far it's been doom and gloom. But the story's not over yet. Now the priests can't legally kill him. They want to, but they can't. So what they do is they drag him off to the Romans to do the deed. And so we get to chapter 15 of Mark, what we read earlier. And Jesus has already faced the religious trial. He's already been rejected by his own people. Now is time to face the state trial. How will Pontius Pilate react in the face of Jesus' death? Well, he kicks things off with the same question of who Jesus claims to be. In case there's any doubt at this point, verse 2, Pilate asks him, are you the king of the Jews? Now, it's the first time in Mark that this little phrase, king of the Jews, is used. But I guess that's the way that the Romans understood the promised saving king for God's people. But of course, Jesus is not simply the king of the Jews, but the king of all. And yet, the Jews have just delivered him, tied up, beaten, to be killed. Are you the king of the Jews? It almost sounds like a joke at this point. But there's a serious connotation to it. Are you the king of the Jews? Are you committing high treason? Are you worthy of death? And yet Jesus does not deny it. In fact, Jesus doesn't defend himself at all. And so you've got Pontius Pilate looking at this sorry excuse for a man with no marks of kingship, beaten, restrained, and spat on. Clearly without the support of the people he was supposedly the king of. Accused of making claims of kingship? What claims could this man possibly make? The glory of kingship and the humiliated man Jesus must have seemed light years apart. And so how does Pilate respond? Well, with hesitation. And also, amazement. He doesn't want to kill this man, but he has the Jews baying for his blood. And with Jesus' silence, Pilate's stuck. So as a last-ditch resort, he gives the crowd a choice. He'd free one prisoner, Barabbas, a murderer and a rebel, or Jesus. The choice should be simple, an innocent man or a murderer, the true king or a rebel. But what do the Jews do when he asks them, what do you want me to do with the king of the Jews? Crucify him, they cry. Just like that, we have the final word of response of God's people, the Jews, the final nail in his coffin leading up to his death. And just like that, a murderer is freed and Jesus is condemned to death. Friends, as we read this, I cannot help but acknowledge that I am just like Barabbas, the dirtbag that goes free at the cost of Jesus' life. As he dies in my place, in your place. This is grace at its clearest. We're reminded in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'm sentenced to death. And yet Jesus takes my place. A murderer. Replaced by the Son of God, perfect and holy and pleasing to his Father. This is the Easter story of freedom for the rebel, forgiveness for the murderer, and the judgment deserved by them and by us poured out on Jesus instead. Well, how did Jesus react in the face of his death? I mean, you think a king might put up a fight. And yet, as the greatest injustice in the history of our world befell him, he stood silently accused. Why? Why would Jesus do this? Well, I think the short answer is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We know this. See, God has a love greater than anyone. The willingness to lay down his son's life for his enemies. Jesus died so we wouldn't have to. Despite being the king. Despite being the king, he came to serve, not be served. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned. What good news. But perhaps the fuller picture as to why Jesus is silent. In his seeming defeat is that actually at the cross Jesus would win the greatest of victories, victory over death. We see snippets of it in the lead up to this earlier in Mark, like Mark 5, where Jesus raises the daughter of Jairus from the dead. But we see its fullness as Jesus himself embraces death, having repeated over and over that he must suffer death, and that 3 days later he would rise. Not only does he know of our great need in the face of our own death, but he knows that this is a battle he will win. So how does Jesus react? He goes quietly about doing the business of his Father, dying, so that we can have eternal life as we share in his victory over death. Well, the claim today is that Jesus is King, a saving King, the King who was betrayed, beaten, and killed. And as we look at the account of Easter in the Bible over this weekend, the picture we get of Jesus is of a man who faces wholesale rejection, rejected by friends, but also by both church and state. The great injustice of it all as he is killed for simply claiming who he truly is, the King. Despite healing people, saving people, and teaching people, despite God declaring that this is his Son with whom he is pleased, Jesus goes willingly to the cross to face his Father's judgment so that we may be spared from it. His words from chapter 14 ringing in the background, "Not my will, but yours be done." It's a Good Friday because it's all about being saved from the judgment that Jesus endured for us. Now, I know in the past week or so, you've probably heard all sorts of claims about who exactly deserves judgment. Now, we have the whole Izzy Folau debacle, the statements he made on Twitter warning of hell and reminding people that only Jesus saves, for which he was subsequently sacked. Now, every man and their dog has had something to say on this already, from your friends on Facebook to the CEO of Qantas. But it raises a question for us, doesn't it? Not so much about our freedom of speech. I mean, you might like to talk about that, or even what little hope we now have in the Rugby World Cup. I mean, I'll leave that to others, particularly Neil on the second point. But it raises the question of who exactly deserves God's judgment to be separated from eternal life, which is what he offers. And I think the answer is greater in scope than just a few subsections of humanity. It's not just Barabbas that deserved to die that day. It's also not just drunks or thieves or fornicators. The truth is, it's each one of us. Each of us is like Barabbas the criminal. We may feel the injustice of seeing an innocent man killed in the place of a guilty one. I think we should. But weigh that in your mind as you consider that actually each of us deserved what Jesus faced. God reminds us in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 10, "There is no one righteous, not even one. All people have turned away from God." And the consequence of that is, of course, judgment. The judgment of separation from the God who we reject, and the God who is the source of all goodness and everlasting life. God sends his Son to lead his people out of judgment. He sends him as King, and this is the King who our world crucified. And so, to conclude, how will each of you react in the face of Jesus' death? Now, I'm not going to give you a long, extensive list of how to respond, but perhaps raise one attitude: thankfulness. The thankfulness of one who is in every way guilty of high treason against our God and is spared. Friends, that's each one of us. And yet he died for us that we may be restored in our relationship with him. So that instead of dying for rejecting him, we might repent of our ways and have eternal life. So to the one who has already accepted Jesus as their Lord and King, as their Savior, this Good Friday, let us remember this act of love. Let us remember that Christ is not only there in the equation of how we live our lives once every now and then when we actually remember him, but he died for us. Friends, if that doesn't make you take Jesus seriously, what will? But perhaps you have not started taking Jesus seriously or taking his death with a view of thankfulness. And to those who haven't given their life to Jesus, let me ask, how will you react to the news of his death? The news that sinners go free at his hand. This is the freedom of death each of us have on offer. Friends, accept it. Be free like Barabbas by Jesus' body and blood. This is why it's a Good Friday. Amen.